Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to What's the Fact, okay, here on RadioColor.es, okay. Today is a very special day. It's our 11th program already, but it's special because apart from our usual photo teachers, okay, Agus and Anna, hello, by the way.
Hello.
Hello, Manu. How are
hello,
you?
Hello, guys. We've got Miriam today with us, okay. Hello, Miriam.
Hello.
Miriam, it's her first time here. She's a first timer. But, well, by the way, who is this Miriam? Yeah, let's get things clear. Miriam was a student at Photo for some months, okay? She was one of the best students that we've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Because in just a few months, okay, she got her C1 certification, okay? First time she took the exam, for, you know, she got it. She's really, really good, okay?
Thank you. And let's say it's the first time for me in front of a microphone, so...
But don't worry, we're not very much, well, we don't have a lot of experience ourselves, don't worry. Okay, yeah, so we will tell some more about Miriam in a minute. And at the same time, I'd like to say hello, to send my greetings to my friend Mireya. She's been listening to us for some weeks now. And I just want to say that, you know, Mireya, come on, you can get your B2. You're a great friend as well. So, you know, come on, good luck. All right, so before anything else, Anna, can you tell us one place where our listeners can find us?
Mm-hmm. So you can find us on the internet at radiocolor.es.
Okay, that was great. And Agus, where else can people find us?
You can find us on 106.2 FM.
Mm-hmm. And Miriam, where else?
And also at Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Right. So don't forget to, you know, to check our programs on these sites, okay? Right. So today, as usual, we will have a grammar and common mistakes section, okay, together with false friends, you know. And then we will have a song, okay, a famous one. And then, and after all that, we'll be talking about Australia. We're going to go Aussie today. Okay, we're gonna go awesome as well. fine. All right. So let's do the grammar. How to avoid a couple of mistakes today. We're gonna start with some spelling mistakes. Okay. For example, costume and custom and even customs. Lots of students tend to mix these words up, and they don't have a clear idea of the differences here, right? So, for example, a costume, okay, I'll spell that for you, C-O-S-T-U-M-E, okay? Miriam, what is a costume? Where or when do we use?
That is something that I love, and usually we use that during a special time of the year. One of those could be Halloween, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's when you just feel like being somebody else, and then you dressed up like somebody else. Like, yeah. Carnival, Halloween, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so what would be the translation for that in Spanish?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Disfraz. And in Murciano, disfraz.
Yeah, well, now you know something else from about Miriam. Okay, she's from Murcia. Okay, but she lives here in Cuenca. All right. Gracias, Monica. All right. So, next word would be custom. Okay, that's C-U-S-T-O-M. All right. And Anna, can you tell us a synonym for custom, or can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so custom is like a tradition. So for example, something maybe people do in a certain place or a certain country. So for example, a British one is like afternoon tea. Mm-hmm. So maybe not as, well, it's still common, but people do this. It's like a custom to have.
It's a habit, isn't it? It's like a habit that you have. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So in Spanish, it would be un hábito, una costumbre. Okay. Mm-hmm. Custom. Okay. But what happens if we put custom in plural? Of course, it could be like different customs. Like in England, there are many customs. Right, but in a specific context, for example, at the airport, okay, or between, or at the, you know, between two countries, you get the customs. Okay, there is a section called the customs. Agus, what is the customs? You know, in at an airport, for example,
it's aduanas.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's basically where the police, where the airport police are, and they, you know, they may ask you a couple of questions. They may, you know, check
your... They'll like to have your passport, and you will have your liquids removed, and things like that.
Okay, good. Excellent. So costume is what you put on Halloween, for example. A custom is the afternoon tea in England, although, you know, not necessarily at 5 o'clock. And the customs at the airport is the police control and things related to that. Okay, very good. Now... let's move on, and now I would like to comment on three expressions or three connectors that you might want to use. They all begin with as, okay? That would be as long as far as, and as soon as, right? They're very common, especially from B2s, okay, I would say. But what do they mean? You know, some people tend to mix them up and confuse one with the others. So, Agus. Can you explain what is the meaning of as long as?
Okay, we can translate as long as mientras. Mm-hmm. And we can use it in a sentence, as, for example, Manu, don't worry, as long as you need me, I'll be there, for example.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. I would suggest another translation. That would be siempre y cuando, okay? Mientras o siempre y cuando is also a good translation, in my opinion. Good. Now, Anna, what is as far as?
Yeah, so as far as means to the extent that. Mm-hmm. So if I would use this in a sentence, I could say, as far as I'm concerned, this is the best radio program in Cuenca.
Of course, yeah. Of course. You know, best example ever, okay? Great, Anna, great example. Excellent. Okay, and the translation, you know, as far as I'm concerned, could be like, por lo que a mí respecta, or, you know, en mi opinión, maybe. Okay, good. Miriam, what is as soon as?
As soon as, we can translate that as tan pronto como. So, mm-hmm. As soon as I win the lottery, I'm so sorry, folks, but I will disappear.
Okay, excellent. That was a very good example as well. Tan pronto como or en cuanto gane la lotería. That's another translation that I would suggest. Okay, very good. And finally, in this is related to grammar, but also to pronunciation, right? There are two rather basic connectors that many people know, but some people tend to mispronounce them. Okay, so the first one is well known, and it's because, right? And the pronunciation is precisely that, because. But some Spanish speakers tend to say bicaus or bicous, okay? There's no diphthong there, it's because or because, okay? So please try to pronounce it well next time, okay? And the other one would be although, okay? Although is the correct pronunciation. Although some people tend to say also, also.
Okay. Arthur.
Okay. I haven't seen that one yet, but
okay. Soon, it's coming soon.
But yeah, the correct pronunciation would be although, although. Okay. Good. Fine. Please try you know, to avoid these mistakes and also try to use these connectors and these phrases in your speaking exercises or in your writings, because they're very useful, okay? And they're going to push up your marks. All right, now let's do some false friends now, all right? The first one would be estimate or estimation, maybe. Estimate sounds a bit like estimar or estima, right? But it doesn't mean that. Miriam, could you give me an example? Could you explain what that is?
Sure. Let's say I have a situation at home and my shower is broken and also my toilet's broken. So I need to talk to a plumber and ask him how much it's going to take me to fix it all. So I'll be asking for an estimate, meaning the amount of money that it'll take me.
The approximate amount of money, okay?
What do you mean? He's going to charge me double after, or?
Well, maybe not double, but perhaps if they tell you it's going to cost you 100 euros, maybe it's not 100 in the end, maybe it's 115, or maybe it's 90, okay?
Yeah. 90.
Right, depending on the plumber.
Do plumbers listen to us?
Don't know, maybe a couple of them. Okay, good. So, you know, estimate. And by the way, check out the spelling, okay, because it's estimate. It's not estimate, it's estimate with an E at the beginning. All right, good, very good. Thank you, Miriam. Now, Agus, what would you do if a building collapsed, you know? Because collapse doesn't mean collapsed. Mm-hmm. Okay, what does it mean?
To fall down. It means que se derrumba, se algo se que se cae.
Yep.
So we can use collapse in a sentence as after the earthquake, most buildings collapsed.
That's the perfect example. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but not only buildings collapse, like other things can collapse too, like even people can collapse, like for example, if you faint in the middle of the street, maybe, you know, you can see that you collapsed, you know, and a bridge can collapse. Okay. Very
I'll
good.
I collapsed when I win the lottery, that'll happen.
Yeah. Okay, I'd love to be there to see it. Okay. Well, thank you. And now, drama, okay? Drama looks exactly like the Spanish word, okay? Drama. But it doesn't necessarily mean drama, okay? Sometimes it does, but some other times, especially when you study it, it means something else. Anna, could you give us an example, maybe?
So you could say, for example, I studied drama at school. Mm-hmm. So it can be like the subject of acting.
Yep.
And then you can also use it as like a genre of like film or TV.
Uh-huh.
Like I watched a drama film.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you study drama at school or at high school or something, it does not mean that you're always going to do like these dramatic, sad stories, okay, by Shakespeare. No, you can do comedy as well, but it's still called. That's where our Spanish-speaking listeners might have a problem, perhaps, but not after this. All right, good. Any questions, anyone? No, I don't believe so. Right, so let's take a little break now. Let's relax, and let's listen to Agus. What are we going to listen to now?
Okay, today we are going to listen our song that contains idiom, of course. Today's song is Cry Me a River by Ella Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. So I hope you are going to like it. So,
all right,
let's listen to it. You're lonely.
I cried a river over you. You drove me, nearly drove me out of my head. Why you never shed a tear. Remember, I remember all that you said. Told me love was too plebeian. Told me you were through with me. Say you love me. Well, just to prove you do, come on and cry me a river. Cry me a river, 'cause I cried a river over you. You drove me, nearly drove me out of my.
Lovely song, yeah, without a doubt. Okay, now, Anna, what is cry me a river? You know, when do we say that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can use it in maybe two different ways, like in the song. So when she says, I cried a river over you, obviously she's talking about maybe someone she loved, and it means she cried so much, she was so sad. But then you can also use it in maybe a bit of a sarcastic way. Mm-hmm. So she says, you can cry a river over me. So you can say this sarcastically, if in a way that means you can cry as much as you want, mm-hmm. it won't make a difference. So people say it maybe if you complain about something a lot or you whinge about something, you can say, oh, cry me a river.
But
meaning like cry as much as you want or
exactly.
moan.
I don't mind.
As you want.
Would your mom tell. She tell you something like that, for example?
Well, for example, maybe if you were moaning about something like you didn't want to, I don't know, didn't want to do your work or you didn't want to do something that you had to, you could say, someone could say to you, oh, cry me a river. Mm-hmm. You have to do it anyway.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it's perfectly clear now.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks very much, Anna. Right. And today, because it's Australia Day here, what's a fact? the three more idioms I'm going to be talking about now are going to be Australian idioms, okay? Idioms that you will probably not find anywhere else, okay? Just in Australia, right? The three of them include animals, right? But it's not that all the Australians talk about animals, of course, right? But we just found them curious, okay, to say the least. Right, so the first one would be on the wallaby track, okay? To be on the wallaby track. A wallaby is an Australian animal, okay? It's like a kind of kangaroo, isn't it?
Yeah, small kangaroo.
Yeah. Fine. So it means to be unemployed. Okay, to be on the wallaby track means to be unemployed. So, Agus, how's work? You know, how are you doing at work?
Sadly, last week I insulted my boss, so now I'm on the wallaby track, Manu.
Was it nice when you insulted him? Did it feel nice?
In that moment, yes, but now... I'm so sad about it.
So now you're on the wallaby track.
Yeah.
Okay, you're looking for a job. You're unemployed at the moment.
Exactly.
All right. Good. Fine.
That's not true. I have to say it. Diego, I love you.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. We don't want to be on the wallaby track.
No.
Okay. Right. Now, but you can also be mad as a cut snake. Okay, you can be mad as a cut snake. Right? That means that you're totally crazy, totally out of control, out of your mind. Right? Mm-hmm. So, Miriam, what happened to Mark last night? He was mad as a cut snake.
Yeah, because while he was driving, he got stopped twice by the police and he got two tickets. One because he was speeding too much and the other one because he parked the car in the wrong space.
Oh,
so
no.
Try to imagine, you get two tickets in the same day.
Yeah, no wonder he was mad as a cut snake.
Yeah, okay. He was.
Yeah. Thanks, Miriam. Right, and now... And you can be flat out like a lizard drinking. That's a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. You can be flat out like a lizard drinking. Okay. Well, it basically means when you work very hard or very fast. Okay. I'm supposed to finish your work quickly, or you know. So Anna, how have you been?
Oh, I'm so tired right now. I've been flat out like a lizard drinking.
Should we believe you?
But you know, by the end of the week, we usually are. Okay, yeah, because at Foro we need to work very hard, and sometimes you need to work very fast. Okay, but it's a good team after all. Okay, very good. So on the wallaby track, okay, unemployed, mad as a cut snake, like very very crazy, out of control, and flat out like a lizard drinking. Okay, like when you have been working very hard, very fast. Okay, excellent. I don't think we sounded very Australian, okay?
Yeah.
Our accents keep being the same, but you know, we're going to be talking about the Australian accent in a minute, okay? And actually, we officially start the you know, the topic or the fact on what's the fact, okay? So let's go Aussie now, right? And Agus,
yep.
You are an expert on Australia,
yeah,
you know, today.
Course.
In Australia.
I was born there twice in other lives. Yeah.
So, Agus from Sydney is going to tell us a little bit about that. Okay,
yeah.
And then we'll be talking about the history and the languages and some other things.
Okay,
right?
So let's start with some tips about Australia. Officially, the Commonwealth of Australia is a country comprising the mainland of Australian continent, the island of Tasmania, and numerous smaller islands. It is the world's sixth largest country by total area. The neighboring countries are Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, and East Timor to the north, the Solomon Island and Vanuatu to the northeast, and New Zealand to the southeast. Australia's capital is Canberra, and its largest urban area is Sydney.
Actually, lots of people think that the capital of Australia is Sydney,
but
it's not. It's just the largest city, I guess. But, you know,
so pay attention if you are playing Trivial Pursuit, so it's very important.
Yeah, so the capital of Australia is
Canberra.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
In addition, for about 50,000 years before the first British settlement in the late 18th century, Australia was inhabited by indigenous Australians after the European discovery of the continent by Dutch explorers in 1606. Australia's eastern half was claimed by Great Britain in 1700 and initially settled through penal transportation to the colony of New South Wales. What do you think about it? We will talk about it later, I think.
Yeah, I thought it might be a legend or a myth or something, but according to this, it was settled. It was inhabited by Brits.
By thieves.
And criminals.
Yeah.
But curiously enough, Australia is one of the countries with the lowest rates of crime and violence. So, you know, maybe it's not in the genes. Maybe it's,
Okay, to finish with it, by 1850s, most of the continent had been explored and an additional 5 self-governing crown colonies were established. I also would like to add that the name of Australia is derived from the Latin Terra Australis.
No, sorry, Agus, no. Anna.
I thought the same. Yeah.
Anna has to read that in Latin, you know. You're not an expert in Latin. Yes, Anna is.
Anna, please.
No.
You have Latin enough.
Poor girl.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Agus. Yeah. Agus pinpointed something about the history. Okay, I'm gonna extend that. I'm gonna elaborate on that a little bit. The human habitation of the Australian continent is estimated to have begun between 42,000 and 48,000 years ago, and these first inhabitants on the island may have been ancestors of modern indigenous Australians. At the time of European settlement in the late 18th century, most indigenous Australians were hunter-gatherers and fishermen, right? So they hunted and they gathered food and fruits and stuff, and they fished. Right, then the Europeans arrived, okay? So the first recorded European sighting of the Australian mainland and the first recorded European landfall on the Australian continent back in 1606 was not by the Brits. It is attributed to the Dutch. Okay, they were great sailors, as everybody knows. Then there were many expeditions, but it was only in 1770 when James Cook, sailed along and mapped the east coast, which he named New South Wales and claimed for Great Britain. With the loss of its American colonies in 1783, the British government sent a fleet of ships called the First Fleet under the command of Captain Arthur Phillip to establish a new penal colony in New South Wales. The indigenous population, estimated to have been between 750,000 and 1 million in 1788, declined for 150 years following settlement, mainly due to infectious disease. Okay, but it was not only that. Thousands more died as a result of frontier conflicts with settlers. Okay, colonization has never been peaceful. Right, on January the 1st, 1901, Federation of the Colonies was achieved after a decade of planning, consultation and voting. This established the Commonwealth of Australia as a dominion of the British Empire. The Federal Capital Territory was formed in 1911 and the location for the future Federal Capital of Canberra. Melbourne was a temporary seat of government from 1901 to 1927 while Canberra was being constructed. So Canberra didn't really exist at first. Yeah.
And it's not important because probably the most important events there were the Olympic Games that they were in Sydney. Annually, you can enjoy the Australian Open tennis. In tennis, and it's in Melbourne,
isn't it?
Yeah. So Canberra is not important at all.
Nothing's going on over there, or what?
Yeah. Nobody knows much about Canberra. Poor Canberrans, if I went to Australia, the first thing I'd do is go to Canberra and support, that town.
Yeah, probably just administration and politicians are there, so they hide them.
I'd just like to say, I have some relatives in Canberra.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
My aunt and my uncle, they live there, and my cousins. So
would you like to say hello?
I would like to say hello, but I don't know if they're listening, but I'll say Hello, Irene, my auntie, and Angus. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Okay, well done. See, you know, now I have another reason to support people from Canberra.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course.
Okay, good. That's great. Miriam, we've talked about history. How about you talk about geography?
All right.
It's such a vast piece of land, so there must be lots of things to say.
Yeah, indeed. Well, let's say Australia's land mass of over 7 million square kilometres. And it is on the Indian-Australian plate. And as you know, it's surrounded by the Indian and Pacific Oceans. And it is also the world's smallest continent and the sixth largest country by total area. And something that I would love to visit one day in my life, that is the Great Barrier Reef, and that is the world's largest coral reef, and lies a short distance from the continent. Unfortunately, it's about to die. It's called it's bleaching, okay? And meaning it's becoming whitey. Why? And it's dying.
Oh,
and
no.
They don't know if it's going to survive.
Wow.
And try to imagine, it is as big as it's, it could be seen from out of space.
Wow.
Yeah, you could check on internet and find pictures from NASA.
Maybe on Google Earth or something like that, or just pictures from NASA. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And well, it also has mountains. Okay, the highest peak is the mountain McClinton, and it's at 3,492 meters, and in the Australian Antarctic Territory. Australia's size gives it a wide variety of landscapes, with tropical rainforest in the northeast, mountain ranges in the south, southwest and east, and dry desert in the center. So you can find almost everything, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
The population density is 2.8 inhabitants per square kilometer.
It's not much, is it?
No, it's among the lowest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Although a large proportion of the population lives along the temperate southern coastline. I guess because of the weather, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about biodiversity. Okay, that's about 85% of flowering plants and 84% of mammals, and more than 45% of birds, and 89% of inshore. Temperate zone fish are endemic. Okay.
Wow. So you know, like a very big part of the biodiversity is endemic. That means that you know it's originally from there, and it probably doesn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's unique.
Found
you could
anywhere
say.
Else.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Australia has the greatest number of reptiles of any country. Check this out, 755 species.
Wow.
Reptiles, yeah? Besides Antarctica, Australia is the only continent that's developed without feline species, okay?
So, hold on a minute. Does that mean that they don't...
No.
Didn't have any endemic cats or lions or
no not at all.
No,
no
one.
Felines.
No, there is only one that I don't remember the name, but it was introduced like two centuries ago. It's not endemic. It's not from there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
No lions, no tigers.
No, but many snakes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about forests, okay? They're mostly made up of evergreen species, particularly one that we used to see in here, right? The eucalyptus tree,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
And so it's a very good country for breathing, you know, like, no problem.
Well, and let's say among well-known Australian animals are the platypus.
Platypus.
Platypus. What is that? That is that strange animal,
our
right?
Our friend platypus.
With the, yeah. the one with the beak like a duck and webbed legs and a tail,
and
right?
Fair, because it's a mammal, but at the same time it looks like a bit like a duck.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a mammal, but it lays eggs. Okay.
Tricky animal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the marsupials, of course, including the kangaroo, koala, and the wombat, and birds, such as the emu, or, here comes the funny one, the kookaburra. All right? Well, Australia is home to many dangerous animals, including some of the most poisonous snakes in the world. All right? And to end with this, let's say dingo was introduced by Austronesian people who trade with indigenous Australians around 3000 BC. And many animal and plant species became extinct, yeah, soon after first human settlement. Surprise!
Yeah, yeah. Well, because the dingo is probably one of the most famous Australian animals, and it's not from there.
Yeah.
But would you like to be Austronesian? It sounds incredible. Yeah. Where are you from? I'm an Austronesian person. It's like, I'm more than you.
Yeah. All right. So thank you, Miriam. That was very, very interesting. You know, but Australia is not just about plants and animals, okay? You know, they, of course, have their economy. And actually, I guess it's a very wealthy country, isn't it, Anna?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Australia is known as a wealthy country, and it generates its income from various sources, including mining-related exports, telecommunications, banking, and manufacturing. And it has a market economy, a relatively high GDP per capita, and a relatively low rate of poverty. In terms of average wealth, Australia ranked second in the world after Switzerland in 2013.
Wow.
Although the nation's poverty rate increased from 10.2% to 11.8% from 2000 to 2013. And it was identified by the Credit Suisse Research Institute as the nation with the highest median wealth in the world and the second highest average wealth per adult in 2013. And finally, the Australian dollar is the currency not just in Australia, but also in some surrounding independent islands.
So they don't, have pounds or anything like that. They have dollars, but it's not the same kind of dollar as in the United States. It's the Australian dollar.
Mm-hmm. I think we should go there.
Well, then you need to prove that you have 10,000 euros in your account. Otherwise, you're not allowed to go in.
Okay.
So start saving.
I'm going to do that. Because, you know, the AC/DC, the rock band, are from Australia.
Yep.
Yeah. So they have the wombat. They have the platypus. They have their own currency. Everything. And they live very well.
Yeah.
You know, the Swiss Credit Research Institute, they say...
And most importantly, they can celebrate Christmas on the beach, you know, having a barbecue. You know, how great is that? I'm not a particularly big fan of Christmas, but I don't like Christmas, to be honest. If I was to spend Christmas there, you know, I think I'd love it.
And remember, more than 700 species of snakes.
But not on the beach, not necessarily on the beach.
You never know.
There are more than 700 and everywhere, so...
So, Anna, including your aunt and your uncle, how many people are there in Australia?
Okay, so at the current time, around 25 million inhabitants are in Australia.
Well, that's not a lot for such a vast country.
No.
And that's a little bit more than half the Spanish population, population of Spain.
I think Britain is it like 66 million?
Yeah.
And think of... Britain's quite small.
Yeah.
So
whoa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, until the Second World War, the vast majority of settlers and immigrants came from Isles, and a majority of Australians do have some British or Irish ancestry. So, in the 2011 Australian census, the most common ancestries of the population were English, around 36%, Australian around 35%, Irish, Scottish as well, Italian and German, and then slightly lower proportions of Chinese at 4.3%, Indian 2%, Greek 1.9%, and Dutch 1.7%. And Australia's population has quadrupled since the end of World War One, and a lot of this increase was due to immigration. And following World War II and through to 2000, almost 5.9 million of the total population settled in the country as new immigrants, meaning that nearly two out of every Australians were born in another country.
Wow. I think it's very interesting.
That's a high proportion of you know, immigrants, and but that's what probably makes this country such a, you know, such a friendly and cosmopolitan place. You know, it's one of the places where I have to go before it's too late. Sounds like I'm dying. No, I'm not dying.
Manu, don't spend your 10,000 euros. Please, don't do
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. I'll try to...
Keep saving them.
Okay. Okay.
Otherwise, you cannot go there.
All right, so thank you very much, Anna. Right, and as everybody knows, most people in Australia speak English, okay? So let's talk about, you know, Australia in terms of languages. Australia, to begin with, has no official language, okay?
Don't they?
No, apparently they don't. You know, it's, you know, in the constitution really appear. However, English has always been entrenched as a de facto national language, basically meaning that everybody speaks English, and it's a common language, of course. Australian English is a major variety of the language with a distinctive accent and lexicon, and it differs slightly from other varieties of English in grammar and spelling, okay? But not much, don't worry. General Australian serves as a standard dialect. Okay, in Britain, you get received pronunciation as a standard variety. In America, it's called General American. And here, we've got General Australian. According to the 2011 census, English is the only language spoken in the home for close to 81% of the population. So that's not a complete set of population. The next most common languages spoken at home are Mandarin, Italian, Arabic, Cantonese, and Greek. Okay, and also Vietnamese. Okay. Now, a considerable proportion of first and second generation migrants are bilingual. Okay, which is very interesting. You know, like. Okay, and now over 250 indigenous Australian languages are thought to have existed at the time of contact, but now less than 20 are still in daily use. About 110 others are spoken exclusively by older people, which means that, you know, quite soon they're going to die out. At the time of the 2006 census, 52,000 indigenous Australians, representing 12% of the indigenous population, reported that they spoke an indigenous language at home, apart from English, probably. Mm-hmm. Australia has a sign language known as Auslan, which is the main language of about 5,500 deaf people, okay? Which is great as well. Okay, but because this is an English program and we like English and we want to show you about it, you know, let's see how, or let's listen to how an Australian accent sounds like, okay? So now, Agus is kindly going to play a video, okay, which we're going to listen, and, well, we're going to... It's okay. Let me introduce the thing. This is the BAFTAs awards. Okay, the BAFTAs are like the British Goyas. Okay, but you know, for the 2012 BAFTA awards, two Australian actors, okay, won a prize, okay, and these were Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe, okay. Mm-hmm. So you're going to listen to the introduction by the British presenter, and then you're going to listen to them speak a little bit. However, I must say that, you know, these two, maybe because they're quite, they're international film stars, they probably live in Hollywood or something like that. You know, their accent is not so strong, you know, they're Australian, but, you know, there's not the typical, you know, strong Australian accent. Okay, so Agus, please.
We didn't. As I say, we went mad. We chose two of the greatest film stars on Earth. Like really good coffee, great surfing beaches, and frankly, mediocre cricket, they come from the land down under. Ladies and gentlemen, Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe!
G'day everyone. G'day folks. Jacko, Rusty. Very brave of them to give over this stage to a couple of Aussies.
Extremely brave. I mean, we might start saying things like, call this a fucking opera house.
Perish the thought. All right, now, I am quivering with irrepressible, mouth-watering delirium at the undulating prospect of this most splendiferous...
Mate, that's Stephen's script.
What?
Stephen Fry.
Oh, thank God, I didn't understand a bloody word, I was there.
Nobody really does.
No one does? Right.
Cricket!
All right.
I think that's yours.
Thank you. Right,
he's
so, Struth Cobbers, there's some fair thinking. Nominated in this Bonza category, yes.
Yeah, great script, yep. Thanks. Who was that, Peter Morgan?
Probably.
Yeah, excellent. I might just add a little bit from here. Yeah. Throughout the evening, we've had a closer look at the five great movies nominated for Best Film. But before we find out which one of them will be taking the BAFTA award home, let's just remind ourselves of them once more.
Drive, Mark Platt, Adam Siegel.
Okay. Right, so, but they, you know, now that I think about it, they do have the Australian accent, don't they? Right. I don't know if you found it easy or difficult to follow, but maybe because you don't have the whole context and obviously many people are not familiar with the accent.
No. It was difficult for me, I have to say.
I find it difficult too.
Yeah.
Right. Now, let's
what
play...
What about you and I?
But that's just because she's got family there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? All right, if you noticed, the presenter of the gala said, you know, they come from the land down under. That's what people say about Australia, like, you know, they live down under, right? Like, it's like there, like it means in Australia, right? Good. Now, let's play another excerpt, okay, another bit, by this guy called Adam Hills, right? He's Australian, he's a comedian, right? You're going to listen to him speak in a stand-up comedy show, right? And I think you're going to find this one even more difficult, right? But he's got such a thick Australian accent, okay?
Not for an Amanu.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Please welcome back to the stage your host for tonight, Adam Hills.
I'm aware that as Australians we do have the most annoying accent on the planet. I'm sure you're aware of what we all do. I'm sure you're aware we all go up at the end of every sentence. Because we're all too insecure to actually make a statement. So we have to make it sound like it's a question. Because we secretly need your approval. Even when it's something serious. Susie got eaten by a shark. I'm afraid there are going to be high court judges in 30 years' time handing down verdicts just going, I find you guilty of murder. And you know what we do here in Australia? I didn't realise until we went overseas. We ask questions that don't need answering. How nice was the weather today? We did that until I got to England. I was with a group of English people and I just went, oh, how heavy is that rain? They all just looked at me and went, might have been an Australian. I think maybe Jesus was an Aussie and we've just been reading his scriptures. Maybe Jesus walked out to the Sermon on the Mount and just went, "Ah, oh, how blessed are the meek." Because the irony of all is, we were always so arbitrary what language we speak in Australia. We were almost colonised by the French. In fact, we were almost colonised by the Dutch. The Dutch arrived in the 1600s, but they arrived in a part of Western Australia where desert basically meets ocean. And the Dutch just got off their ships and walked around and went, "Well, this is ridiculous." "We cannot grow marijuana crops here." They sailed off. The French arrived 150 or so years later, but they arrived into Botany Bay, next to Sydney Harbour, but kind of
okay.
Like swampy.
Okay, so right. I think he, you know, not everybody speaks so quickly, okay, of course, but, you know, and it just takes, I think the brain takes, you know, some time to adapt, to adjust to a new accent, to a new person's voice, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're used to listening to one specific accent or voice, you know, it takes some time to adjust. Okay, good. And now, finally, we're going to play some other bit from your favorite series, let's say, right? It's The Simpsons again, right? Remember some weeks ago when we played Apu's Wedding, right? So today we're going to play another episode of The Simpsons when they travel to Australia, right? I don't know if you remember, but basically, just for you to have a context, it's when Bart makes like a big offense to Australia, right? And he's being judged at the court, and so you're going to listen to the Simpsons voices, which are obviously American, and then also the Australian judges. Okay, listen to it, please.
Hey! This session will now come to order. With the cooperation of the U.S. Department of State, we are present today one Bart Simpson. I believe he has something to say. Bart?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did to your country.
Bravo. You're free to go, Bart. Right after your additional punishment.
Punishment?
Well, a mere apology would be a bit empty, eh? Let the booting begin!
Booting?
No, it's just a little kick in the bum.
All right. So I hope you remember that bit, okay? So just as some general notes, I would say that the Australian accent is closer to British accent, okay? For example, they don't pronounce the R at the end of syllables. For example, they say car. They can say car, right? Like an American person would say. But also they have some distinctive pronunciation, okay, like I need you to go, you know, that kind of pronunciation is not British either, right? It's rather American, right? Okay, so to end the fact today on what's the fact, Agus, can you tell us something else about Australia?
Yeah, let's talk about culture a little bit with some information that we have this year. So since 1788, the primary influence behind Australian culture has been Anglo-Celtic Western culture, with some indigenous influences. The divergence and evolution that has occurred in the ensuing centuries has a result in a distinctive Australian culture. Since the mid-20th century, American popular culture has strongly influenced Australia, particularly through television and cinema, of course. But other cultural influences come from neighboring Asian countries and through large-scale immigration from non-English-speaking nations, of course, as I think it was you, when you talk about the different languages that mm-hmm. are spoken there. it's all the time related. Mm-hmm. Remember when we talk about another country or different languages?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's another melting pot. It's a melting pot of cultures and languages and art and any other expressions. You know, I think it must be amazing to go there and to live there. Okay, mm-hmm. Right. How about some Australian celebrities, right? You know that sometimes we like to discuss about celebrities here. Right, so you know two, at least, who are Hugh Jackman, okay, and Russell Crowe, right, because we heard them on the BAFTAs video. They're actors, of course, and, you know, do you know any films where they appear, maybe?
Of course, Hugh Jackman is very well known now, mm-hmm. because he is Wolverine, mm-hmm. one of the X-Men.
Yep.
Yeah. And Russell Crowe, probably we can remember him in Gladiator, mm-hmm. when he was awarded with the Oscar as a main actor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, of course. And, you know, how about this one? Mel Gibson.
Okay. I don't know him.
You know, for so many years, I had thought that he was American.
Yeah, me too.
But he's not. He's Australian, apparently, right? You know, what is his, in your opinion, his most famous film?
Wow. Thinking about that one, they were out in the sea, but I cannot remember the name.
Out in the sea.
Yeah. It was like the end of the world and
This is Kevin Costner. Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, then I got
Waterworld.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Costner, but I'm sure you remember Braveheart.
Yeah. Okay.
Braveheart. Of
and The Guild, of course.
Yeah. But he was not only the main actor.
The only one wearing kilt, I know.
But also the director.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. And after that movie, he performed another movie that it was called The Patriot. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was, and all the Mel Gibson movies are always like moving and mm-hmm. with feelings that mm-hmm. belong in a country. I don't know, and that's the reason because I thought he was American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Patriot. You know the end of the movie. Rising the flag, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, great.
That's
film.
Typical American.
Yeah. Great film. All right, and how about Kylie Minogue?
As a singer, yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. she's a singer, right?
She's
yeah.
pretty.
She's very pretty.
She's
and
small.
Yeah, she's... and, yeah, and...
I know she used to be an actress, because she got famous because she was in Neighbours, you know, the
Yeah, I know Neighbours,
soap.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she was younger, and then I think she moved into singing.
Wow, cool. Yeah, I remember when I was living in England, it's not that I followed that, but it was, you know, it was always on TV, like Neighbours, they'll be there to one another.
Neighbours.
Oh my God, I can't believe we've done this. All right. Okay, so Kylie Minogue, she's got like very important international hits. She's great. I think she's great. How about this other lady, Kate Blanchett?
Very pretty, too.
Uh-huh.
And she won an Oscar a few years ago with Blue Jasmine, mm-hmm. Woody Allen's movie. But she's also known for playing the role as Galadriel in The Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
and many, many other movies. She's very famous. Mm-hmm. She is Lady Marian in the last Robin Hood with Russell Crowe.
Yeah. All right. So two Australians in the same film.
Yeah.
Excellent. And now another international film star, of course, Nicole Kidman. She's one of my favorite actresses as well, right?
Yeah. Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
That is one of the ones that I like the most.
She was
playing that with
We could
Tom
say
Cruise.
Many, 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 many things. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can also talk about Tom Cruise.
All right. Yeah. How about Naomi Watts? Where is she? Where does she appear?
Naomi Watts, the first time she was the main actress in an international movie, I think it was in... Probably I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that it was in Peter Jackson's King Kong.
All right.
I think. But we can also enjoy her performance in Lo Imposible. You know, it's in
the
Spanish
Impossible.
The Impossible, but it's in Spanish movie. And I don't know, but many of them.
Yeah, well, that is a shocking film. It's really it's really shocking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, and let's talk about Elle Macpherson. Elle Macpherson, right? She's not an act, but she has been on TV, I think.
Not
she was in
movies.
Friends.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
And in seven movies too. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She has been an actress.
But mostly she's a model, or she used to be a model, I don't know.
Known as the body.
The body, yeah.
The perfect body, yep. And I would like to add another very famous person, that it's Greg Norman. I don't know if you know it, but he's very famous. He was the Master of Augusta winner, I think twice. And he was very known, very well known, because on his hat there was a picture of a shark, and he was called the White Shark.
All right.
I don't know if you know him, but he's one of the most influenced golf players in history. Yep, I'm sure you know it. If I show you a picture of him,
okay. So that was all about Australia for today. We don't have time for more. So, what about what's on? What's on in Cuenca?
What to do on today is 22nd of April. Mm-hmm. Okay, there is something special for children, all right? It's called Peces, and you could go to the music hall for that, and it's a scenic poem, all right? And
is it for adults or for children?
It's for children, but I guess you'll be allowed if you try.
All right, that's good to know.
And then what else could we do during this weekend on the 25th of April, right, from 8:30 in Sala Teo Alcantara? It's going to be music, okay? 250 years for viola in España. And it's going to be performed by Ashay Pillay and Juan Carlos Cornelles, piano, all right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so viola and piano music. Mm-hmm. Well, sounds good for me, you know. I like classical music. No, I was talking about the viola thing. Thank you.
The
thank
poem. You. Remember, madam.
Okay, fine. All right, so I didn't like the experience working with Miriam, so, you know, Miriam, you know, just go away, okay? I don't want you here again.
You're not welcome anymore.
Exactly. All right, so actually, Miriam, thank you very much.
More than welcome.
You know, it's been a pleasure having you here. And also Anna, of course, okay, Anna and her Latin readings.
Because today she has said per capita.
It's true, she said per capita, yeah, which is Latin.
Yep.
Okay, and Agus, thanks very much for everything, okay, your work is really appreciated.
You're welcome.
All right, okay, and here on the mic is Manuel García. I hope to see you, or to speak to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Radio Libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.